KLC AM Indianapolis. Indy's choice for inspiration and praise. AM 1310, The Light.
And it's a very special edition of Afternoons with Amos for Tuesday, December 9th, 2014. I'm Amos Brown. He was a Hoosier native born in Evansville to parents who were teachers, the youngest of three brothers. Bill Mays attended Evansville schools and Indiana University, where he graduated with a bachelor's and MBA degrees. After working for other people's businesses in 1980, he founded his own business, Mays Chemical, which became in revenue the largest black-owned business in Indiana and among the top black-owned businesses in the country, currently 16th largest, according to the annual Black Enterprise Survey. Bill Mays broke racial glass ceilings in civic and business leadership. First black to head the boards of the United Way and the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce. The only black to head the State Lottery Commission. Served on the corporate boards of Anthem, WellPoint, and Vectren. But despite success and wealth, Bill Mays gave back. Investing in scores of businesses and ventures. Giving back in philanthropic ways, both monetarily, with his time and talents, and numerous nonprofits. Mentored and counseled scores and nurtured talented African Americans to be successful in business and the professions. At a time when the nation is talking about the fact that black lives matter, William G. Bill Mays was truly a black life that mattered in oh so many ways. Over the next 2 hours, Afternoons with Amos, we're going to bring together a cross-section of folks touched by Bill Mays and representing the many aspects of a life well lived. Join us and learn some Hoosier and African American history. We'll take a break and we'll begin our journey after these.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Let's begin our journey remembering a life well lived of Bill Mays in the studio, Gino Shelton. They describe you as an entertainment entrepreneur. Carolyn Mosby is the executive director of the Mid-States Regional Minority Supplier Development Council. Ricky Clark, media entrepreneur. And Tommy Butler Robinson with Engaging Solutions. Guys, welcome. Let me start, Carolyn Mosby. You head an organization of minority-owned businesses that work with majority businesses all around the Mid-States region. How significant, how big was Mays Chemical?
Mays Chemical actually was larger than the Mid-States region. One of the largest chemical companies in the country and, number 16 on Black Enterprise Magazine's list. And, just the impact that he had, not just as an entrepreneur himself, but the impact that he had with other people and helping them to start, minority businesses. He really helped to frame the minority business landscape. Particularly in the state of Indiana, but he's assisted so many people other places around the country as well.
We're going to hear a lot about what he did here in Indiana, but you did bring up that he was a mentor and investor helping entrepreneurs across the country.
Yes, absolutely. And I've had so many conversations with entrepreneurs, getting to know their businesses. And at some point in the conversation, so many of them talk about Bill Mays and how he's either helped them to start a business or given them great business advice. And, I wish I could count. I wish I had an accurate number of the number of minority businesses that he's really impacted beyond his own.
Ricky Clark, Bill was at the height of his success in the early 90s. He was still reluctant to even want to be listed in Black Enterprise magazine and go to the Black Enterprise conferences. I think is it fair to say he was so Indiana oriented, so Hoosier oriented in more ways than one, that he was reluctant to let the country know what he was doing and let the country know what he was about. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. He wanted to keep everything on a low key, and he didn't want to be labeled as just a black business. So he was afraid that, participating in different organizations throughout the country that was pretty much black-oriented. But, Mays Chemical was more than that, and he did not want to get pigeonholed in that arena.
Rick, Gino Shelton, Bill Mays worked with you. One could say that you're an example of the many entities around that Bill Mays had a hand in. What was it like working with him?
Ooh. I guess my experience is a little different because Bill was not just a business investor. He was a friend. I considered him a friend. I'm sure he would have said the same thing. And it's interesting how I started, because he really never heard of me. And I was doing concerts at the Murat Theater, the old Murat, before it became, you know, the new Murat. And he comes to the concerts, and one of the people at the recorder said, "Hey, Bill, I want you to meet Geno Shelton." I've been trying to meet with him, and he's got, you know, if you know anything about Bill, he's got blockers. So it really was hard to just
walk up. But that's all executives.
Yeah, but it was kind of hard to just, as a business person. Now, if he seen you on the street and he came up to you, he'd always speak to you. He'd always talk to you. Pretty much Bill Mays I knew. But as far as trying to get in that circle of people that actually get invested in, he had an uncanny way of kind of knowing who to invest and who not to invest. And it had nothing to do with your stature or who you are or anything like that. It's if he could look at you and believe in what you did, small or large. Didn't matter. But for me, Mike Harden introduced me. He was working for the recorder at the time and gave Bill the idea of doing a thing called the Recorder Concert Series. And Bill said, "You know, I think it's a good idea, and I've seen what you're doing." He said, "Well, you know, how much money would you need in order to get started on something like this?" And, you know, I wasn't too shy about saying the money. I said, "Well, Bill, you know, I mean, if you want to do it real big, $50,000. Bill looked at Matt Murphy. Bill wrote a check for $50,000 right there on the spot. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history for me. The three people that I can really say was instrumental in concerts in this community. The concerts that you know now would have not have been, had it not been for Bill Mays. And there's three people. One, my mentor, Reverend Charles Williams. The other one, Ron Jones of Barbecue Heaven, who's always been a big supporter. But mainly and mostly, Bill Mays. He's done a lot for the music scene, urban music scene, in the city of Indianapolis.
Tammy Butler Robinson, you got your own company, Engaging Solutions. As somebody that has their own company, that someone that is a younger entrepreneur, what does Bill Mays mean to you in your business career?
I think one of the things that I learned is, one is, was already stated by Ricky, is making sure that you kind of fly under the radar. You don't have to toot your own horn, was one of the things that he shared. And a lot of times, especially as we start out as minority women-owned businesses, we're trying to leverage that certification. And one of the things that I learned from Mr. Mays is that it's more important to be a good business than to focus on trying to leverage your certification, but leverage providing a quality service, being able to make sure that you're able to deliver and meet those needs. And also the way that he was very generous, as we just heard Gino referencing, being able to give back, because to whom much is given, much is required. And he definitely showed that across the board. And then making sure that you maintain that ability to be approachable. So he was one of those people, as we've already heard, that when you met him on the street, when you talked to him, I'll never forget, one time we were just interacting, and I told him my brother was about to get married, and we were having an engagement party, and he said, "Send me an invitation." I was thinking, okay. So I sent him an invitation. He showed up. We hung out, had a really good time, was one of the last people to leave the engagement party. And so it was just really nice to, a lot of times when you have people that are very affluent and making such a legacy and have created the businesses that he has created, to still take time to seed into others, but then also to make sure that they give back.
Ricky and Gino, is it fair to say that Bill Mays did not fit the stereotype of a business person, of somebody that I ain't gonna pull out his business, but I would say that if you fill out an income tax return, it starts at seven figures. And there's this image today of business people at that level of being aloof, of not caring, of not being comfortable walking into White Castle at 1 o'clock in the morning. Is it fair to say that wasn't Bill?
If you knew Bill, I mean, if you didn't know Bill, and if you're a person on the outside in, and just, you know, whatever, I mean, trying to get to know him or whatever, you might say that, but anybody who actually spoke to him or talked to him, you wouldn't say that at all. I mean, I remember when I first met him, he had like a plaid pants and a green jacket. I don't know who got him to start dressing better. I think Chris started got him to dress better.
Let the record show that Gino made the first reference on this program.
Hey, that was my guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping it real, but to this day, I'm trying to figure out who got him, because it was a gradual, you know, move to a little bit better fashion. I don't know if Krista did that, his wife, I don't know who did it, but thank God they did it. You know? And here's a guy who could have drove a Bentley, a Mercedes, a Lamborghini. And what, he got like a Buick Century or something?
Yeah, exactly.
I think of myself, see, that's why he has money and I don't have anything. That's, you know.
Carolyn Mosby, is it also fair to say say that when Bill May started in 1980, that was when black-owned businesses started moving from being consumer businesses based in majority black neighborhoods to more business-to-business businesses, in other words, businesses that do businesses to other companies, as well as consumer businesses that maybe were out in the general marketplace.
Absolutely. And I think he leveraged his experience that he brought from, you know, working in corporate America and the folks that he looked at in terms of mentors to really take what he learned and leverage it in Mays Chemical as well as the other business interests that he had so that he could. And, you know, he, you know, within our network of minority businesses, you know, he had elevated Mays Chemical as we were talking about now focusing on the minority aspect of the business and just being a good business. He had really elevated Mays Chemical to really not be looked at as just a minority-owned mm-hmm. business, but as a, you know, a chemical company that can do business and has and does business worldwide.
I mean, he was so amazing. Like Gino told one of the stories, you know, we, my brother and I, Jeffrey, we had did some things out at the fairground, and we ran into Bill at a reception that they had out at the fairground, and we got to talking about how there had not been much entertainment for people of color at the fairground during the fair. And so Bill said, you know, we ought to, you Clark brothers, y'all ought to come up with something. So we went back and came up and ended up for 3 years in a row doing, you know, an urban show during the fair. And that was because Bill said, you know what? Y'all, you Clark brothers need to do something about that. And I said, we need some cash. That ain't a problem. Let's pick a list, and I get to pick one act, and you guys get to pick two acts. And that's how we did that for 3 years in a row at the fairground, during the fair, bringing, you know, urban acts out there because Bill wanted it, and it hadn't been at the fairground, and all the other acts were pretty much country and didn't fit, you know, our demographic. So therefore we did that, and, you know, and that hasn't happened since, you know.
Yeah. And Carolyn Mosby, in working with minority-owned businesses in other parts of the country, in talking with other regional supplier development councils across the country, is what Bill did just totally unique? And is this something where the next couple of generations of African-American entrepreneurs don't have that kind of sense of giving back that Bill had?
I would say that, you know, what he did was unique, but I would also say that the many people that he's touched and influenced that are part of that younger generation, I think he had a real impact in really teaching them and helping them to understand the importance of giving back. And I mean, there are countless, you know, folks that I know that are younger, young, 20 and 30 year old entrepreneurs that are just starting that Bill Mays has mentored. And so I think by him sharing his knowledge and giving of his time and helping to create that next generation of minority entrepreneurs, that we see those folks coming along and having some of those same, commitment that he had to giving back beyond just being a business owner.
It's especially, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I think that's exactly right because, you know, when you think about what he created, it wasn't something that he was creating just for him.
Right.
But you're creating it for others to cut for the future.
Right.
Really. And being able to make sure that when people talk about employment opportunities, that you have openings that are available for people mm-hmm. to be able to apply to, that you're actually contributing, serving on the boards that he served on and being able to make a difference at the chamber and at the United Way when you talk about giving and other areas, that it's larger than you. And when people think about their businesses in that way mm-hmm. and that you're actually here to contribute to society, impact lives, that's what he showed us.
Yeah.
It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We're remembering a life well lived of Bill Mays. We're not taking phone calls. Not that we don't love you, but we're juggling a bunch of people that you'll hear by phone, and we're trying to keep those lines clear. You can weigh in on your thoughts. Either send us an email at praiseindy.com or send us an email at praiseindy.com, a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, or react on Twitter, either at AM 1310 The Light or Amos WT. TLC Indy. Got two other people that Bill Mays touched their lives in many ways. One is our congressman, Andre Carson, who's in Washington, trying to send some money back home to Indianapolis, and Tony Mason. And we'll weave both of them into the conversation at the same time. Tony Mason, the new president of the Indianapolis Urban League, but work more with Bill Mays as head of the Circle City Classic. Let me go to the congressman first. Congressman, first of all, welcome. How big a loss for, first of, not just this city, this state and this country, is the loss of Bill Mays?
Tremendously so, Dr. Brown. I think Mr. Mays came from a tradition of African-American entrepreneurs who wanted to kind of make their own lane and pave their own way. He comes from Vandenberg County, comes from Evansville. It's where my wife is from. He pledged my father-in-law, Judge David Shaheed. But, you know, I think what was great about Bill Mays is that, you know, we have the Bob Johnsons, we have the Oprah Winfreys. And every time Ebony would do, you know, the top 100 African-Americans, I'd always look for Bill Mays and Julia Carson, of course, but I'd always look for Bill Mays and just having those conversations with him about business. And he was able to underwrite and seed so many small businesses that are now thriving in our community. The story's yet untold, but I think he was visionary enough to really pave his own way in a space that was underrepresented by African American leaders. He was, I think he was the first chairman of the board for Greater Indianapolis, for the Chamber of Commerce. He was the first black chairman of the annual campaign for the United Way of Central Indiana. And what he did was he was a guru of sorts, and he was someone that young upstart entrepreneurs could go to get advice, to get chiding, and to really seek out an angel investor. So I always enjoyed the conversations we had. I saw him last at Georgia Reese. I was with you, Dr. Brown. Mm-hmm. And before that, we were at another event, and we always would go on his boat, and I was talking to him. Our last deep conversation was about getting together a delegation of businesses from Indiana, and he was telling me some names of people I should reach out to, and he was excited about going to either Qatar or some place in Africa or the Middle East to really look at some investments, and he's going to be deeply missed by me and so many others. I spoke to his wife and daughter, Kristen, the other day, and my heart goes out to the Mays family because that's a tremendous loss for our community, but his legacy and his spirit lives on.
Tony Mason, is it fair to say that Bill Mays was your graduate school, was your doctorate degree?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you that when I started with Classic in 2000, he obviously was one of my first meetings or appointments, and one of the things that, you know, he shared with me philosophically was that, of course, that we wanted Classic to remain, to become, you know, what would be considered to be the Cadillac of Classic experiences, and that it would be something that the community would be proud of, the entire community, not just African Americans, but something that, you know, the Chamber, Visit Indy, that all of the organizations would rally, get behind, and support. And so, you know, his heart, as everyone knows, is really, really huge. And so to that end, you know, he not just talked the talk, but, you know, he walked it, you know, not only in providing leadership, guidance, and support, but, you know, he would go into his own pocket and to support opportunities for young people to benefit, you know, either from Classic programs or expo programs, or to make a way for people to attend the game. And the people that don't know, you, he spent lots of dollars each year buying and supporting tickets for folks to benefit from Classic. And I can't tell you that on any one occasion did he say, you know what? Well, they didn't take all the tickets. They didn't use all of them. So, you know, I want my money back. No, he wasn't that type of person.
Tony, let me ask you, did his name help open the door and get a higher caliber of school to agree to come to the Classic? Did he kind of pick up the phone, call a university president, say, hey, we really want you to come here?
Yes, yes. And I can give a great example. Howard University in Washington, D.C., as we all know, Mr. Mays had business ties to that community, and he would leverage those relationships, you know, when asked to help us to get schools. And so, you know, he was he played a major role in Howard coming year, Florida A&M University, And you know, when and where possible, you know, I would always take advantage of that to get Bill on the phone or to have him call and speak to individuals. I know, in fact, from a business standpoint, a company like Caterpillar, when they got involved with Circle City Classic, their board chairperson at that time, Joshua Smith, was also doing a national radio broadcast show where he was talking about black business and black entrepreneurs. And so Bill's willingness to participate in that along with George Pillow and others. And the, you know, the end result, you know, Caterpillar became a huge sponsor and supporter of Circle City Classic. And so, you know, Bill was always open to doing what was not only in the best interest of the Classic itself, but in the best interest of the community.
Congressman, I know that Bill was also a supporter of the Congressional Black Caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. At what point will Bill Mays be remembered on the floor of the House?
Well, you know, we're working on language right now with my staff to introduce something for the Congressional Record so historians can go back and look at it, students can go back and look at his impact not only on our country but his impact internationally. And there are members of the Congressional Black Caucus who were very saddened about the loss, and they've spoken to me about it, and it is my hope that they too will follow suit and introduce a statement for the record so that we could have his legacy preserved in the halls of Congress.
And, Tony Mason, you're now head of, the Urban League, so I will ask you the impact question. How big a void is it that God has called Bill Mays home, a void to this community?
You know, it goes without saying. It's a huge void because there are so many individuals and small businesses that we know that Mr. Mays played a key role in providing startup capital, knowledge, advice, and guidance to. And even in stabilizing, you know, one of our community's treasures, something like the Indianapolis Recorder. And so we know that it's a huge loss, but hopefully everyone that has had the opportunity to work with Mr. Mays and to learn from him will kind of carry on his legacy and continue to support each other and to support, you know, key institutions across this community, because it's critical that we all pull together now more than ever to make sure that that happens, because, you know, we've all been blessed and fortunate enough to work with him and to learn from him. And so let's carry out his legacy.
Tony Mason, president of the Indianapolis Urban League, who worked with Bill Mays when he headed the Circle City Classic. Tammy Butler Robinson with Engaging Solutions. Ricky Clark, legendary media entrepreneur and all kind of good stuff. Carolyn Mosby, executive director of the Mid-States Regional Minority Supplier Council. And Gino Shelton, entertainment entrepreneur.
I like to call it mogul.
And Congressman Andre Carson, guys, thank you for kicking off as we talk about Black Lives Matter. And we're telling you about one life that matters, a life well lived, of Bill Mays. More, a lot more that we'll share with you after these.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Remembering a life well lived of Bill Mays and two people that knew him well. They were having grand conversation during the commercial break. Michael Maurer, a.k.a. Mickey Maurer, publisher, owner of Indianapolis Business Journal, National Bank of Indianapolis, former wonderful person heading the Indiana Department of Commerce. He's got a law school down in Bloomington with one of his names on it. the Maurer School of Law at Indiana University in Bloomington, and who, you know, knew and worked with Bill Mays for many, many years. George Pillow, the CEO, used to be Pillow Express. Now he's gotten fancy, and it is Pillow Logistics, and worked with Bill Mays in so many things. And then others will be joining us as we go in this half hour. Mickey and George, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amos.
How significant is this life well lived of Bill Mays, Mickey?
Well, you know what? I'm still in shock, Amos. Bill was a great friend, and I'm still trying to come to grips with this. I knew that he wasn't 100%, but I'm just very, very saddened. Bill was, when you say the word significant, Bill was significant not only as we all know, to the community, but to me as well.
Mm. George Pillow?
Yes.
How significant?
Bill was, you know, as I was coming down here, I was trying to think of some things that hadn't already been said about Bill. And I really couldn't come up with a lot of different, because most things that have been said about Bill are true. He was a philanthropist. He was a gentleman. He was a great business person. He was, like the guy sitting next to me, Mickey, was one of my mentors, mm-hmm. When I launched Pillow Logistics, 26 years ago. You can't put a value or say enough about Bill Mays. He was just, there's only one Bill Mays, and there will always be one Bill Mays in my book.
You know, Amos, He not only gave money to folks who needed it, invested in a lot of companies, but he was a great mentor at the same time. And I can tell you stories about that if you like. We had a situation once where a guy needed money, and he and I agreed to give him some money. He was a barber, started a barber shop. Mm-hmm. And more than the money, Bill spent time with him, as I did, mm-hmm. and gave him lots of advice. And I'll be darned if the guy didn't take any of it.
and which happens in business.
I suppose. And he went belly up because mm-hmm. he didn't take Bill's advice. But Bill's reaction was, okay, I did the best I could. I gave him support. I gave him money. I gave him advice. Everything's okay.
Is it fair to say, and we kind of said this in the first panel, is it fair? Because sometimes business people, whether businessmen or business women in today's society, are painted so negatively in media. They're the villains of in movies. They're the villains on TV melodramas. And so people have this jaundiced view of business people as they're only in it for themselves. They're only in it for the almighty dollar. They don't care about, the employees. They don't care about their fellow man. How important is it when someone comes along who really demonstrates what a business person is supposed to be? How important is it to lift that up and celebrate that?
I wrote a book recently, and I called it The 10 Essential Principles of Entrepreneurship You Never Learned in School. And a whole chapter is devoted to how a person is supposed to behave. Because if you are, as you say, a good business person, a good entrepreneur, then part of it is treating people with dignity, which Bill did, helping people, sharing your wealth, which Bill did all of those things. And I call that an essential element of being a good business person, and he was.
Is George?
No, not only was he just a great business person, you know, a personal story is that when Bill became the first Afro-American to be the president of the chairman of the board of the Chamber of Commerce, Bill's first move was to make sure that there was diversity on that board. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the people that was a recipient of his diversity plan, as you might say, and came on the chamber board, and it made a world of difference in my life. But Bill made sure that happened, and he made sure several other Afro-Americans were on that board.
I had a similar incident with Bill as well. When I started my bank about 20 years ago, I found it very important to me that we had a diverse ownership of our stock. But it was difficult. And Bill was on the board of Indiana National Bank. Remember Indiana National Bank in those days? Mm-hmm. And they told him, you are not allowed to invest in Mickey's new bank. And he told them to go jump in the lake. He said, I don't care what you guys say. Mickey's a friend of mine. This is important. And I want this new bank to have a diverse ownership. And not only did he invest, but he invited me to Mays Chemical, and I met his lieutenants, and most of them bought stock in my bank. So we had a very good representative of the community in the original stock ownership. And a lot of that was due to Bill and his effort to be create diversity wherever he went.
Yeah, that was a big portion of his life. And being a minority business owner, Bill really understood what it was like to be a minority business owner. He understood the perspective that we had to come from in a society that doesn't always look like us. But he taught me the business principles. He was the first person I met when I started 26 years ago. And, the things he told me back then still ring true today.
Yeah. But you know, I met his mom. I got to know his mom a little bit and I could see where he's getting,
I knew his mom too.
Yeah. She was something else.
They were both, I know his mom and dad were both teachers. How much of an influence, George and Mickey was his parents?
As we all well know, even in all the communities, parents are the essential to the soul. They're the role models that we mimic. And Bill's parents set the standard for what he was and still is in my mind today of giving him all the essentials on how to operate in this world and be a very, very successful and humble business person.
A good sense of values.
Yes.
It goes back to that kids need a preschool education, and he had it totally. At home, with two able educators.
We're talking with Mickey Maurer, George Pillow, businessmen, entrepreneurs. George, you talked about the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, the president, of the chamber back then when Bill went on the board, I believe, or was there for a number of his tenure was John Merlin.
Yes.
Who is now, he's now with Old National Bank. Don't hit it, Mickey. and John's on our line. John, welcome. You were at the chamber when Bill Mays broke a barrier in terms of a person of color, a minority chairing the board. What was Bill Mays like helping to provide leadership on the chamber?
Well, yeah, I was the president of the chamber when Bill became chair. And, interestingly, I just had lunch with Steve Steitel and Steve preceded Bill as chair. And so we were reminiscing a little bit about, how all this came about. And it was Steve had a very strong feeling about the chamber needed to take a step that it should have taken probably years before, but it was time to take the step to have a minority chair. And Bill had been a member of the chamber at that time for probably 10 or 15 years, and he had been on our board and had come on the executive committee, was a good mentor for businesses of all kinds and all sizes, and he also was mentored by some very good business people. And so I think you guys were talking about the impact of family, and that's been important to all of us. But Bill, I think, also was mentored by some very good business people who helped him understand that, you know, Bill, you can do anything you want to do, and we're here to help you when there are pitfalls, and there will be some, we're here to help you. And so it was very clear that Bill appreciated, he knew where he came from, he appreciated the help that he got, and he understood that it was important for him to help others. And I think when you had a person like George Pillow and a person like Kathy Langham and a person like Wayne Patrick and a person like Charlie Garcia come on the board, the chamber's board at that time, and a couple of those people became chairs of the board as well. Bill walked the talk. He believed that diversifying the business community and showing that a diverse business community shows the strength of the overall community and can pay back. I think Bill was, you know, Bill exemplified all of that. I want to say one thing about you may not ask me this, but I wanted to say one thing about the day we had a news conference. We thought it was significant enough in becoming the first African-American chair of the chamber. We thought it was significant enough that we have a news conference. And so in December of he became our chairman, and he was our chairman in 93 and 94. And so in December of 92, after the election at our annual meeting in December, when he was elected chair, we had a news conference, and we had it in the chamber's boardroom, and the room was filled, of course, with people asking interesting questions and wanting to know what was going on and getting to know Bill a little better and things like that. But the best question and the best answer by far, and I tell this story to this day. I have told this story throughout my life. When Bill was asked the question by, I don't remember who it was, but one of the reporters said, "What's the significance of you being the first African-American chair of the chamber?" And Bill's answer, without batting an eye, was, "Only the fact that you would ask that question." there was really nothing else to it as far as he was concerned. He was a successful business person who knew what he was doing, who was recognized by his peers, who was there to help and to carry on the great traditions of the Indianapolis Chamber. And there was no significance to it beyond that someone would ask the question. And so I thought he handled that great. And he, throughout his tenure, that 2-year tenure as chairman of the chamber, he handled all those issues the same way.
We're with John Merlin, former president of the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, and was president of the chamber when Bill Mays became the first African American board chair of the chamber. Mickey Maurer and George Pillow, business people extraordinaire. I want to, you know, weave into this conversation Robert Jackson. Robert Jackson's one of the men of Kappa, fraternity brother of Bill Mays, also a mentee of Bill's. We also have on the line, we're just collecting everybody here. Matt Murphy, who's one of the many, employees of Mays Chemical, worked with, Bill for many, many years. He was probably the one that, that Bill would always tell, you know, entrepreneurs and business people, talk to Matt. Matt did the work. Matt, let me first bring you in. Let me first, on behalf of all of us here at the Radio 1 family, express our sympathies to the Mays Chemical family in this difficult time. First of all, how are all the employees? How are you guys hanging in there?
Amos, it would be less than honest to say that we weren't all very heavy-hearted during this time, and we lost a dynamic leader, an extremely impactful man in our lives, not only as an employer, but as has been discussed already today. You know, Bill was a different breed of individual, and he was a father figure to some, a mentor to others, and depending upon your relationship with him, even more than that. So I lost a dear friend as well as a boss and business partner. But we're hanging in. And at the end of the day, Bill would want us to do just that, to take our time to grieve and yet go about our business and continue to represent this fine company that he built and carry on.
Robert Jackson, my information says you're one of Bill's mentees. One would say the number of people mentored by Bill Mays could fill Lucas Oil Stadium to the brim and have an overflow in the convention center. Is that fair to say? And what was the impact of the things you learned from Bill?
I think that's fair to say, and the impact is immeasurable. I agree with Matt. Bill was an intricate part of the community, but he took so many young men like myself. I met Bill back in 1990, the same year he bought the Recorder, which is still to this day a viable source for the black community with news. And I met Bill back in 1990. I was a neophyte with Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. And, you know, he came in and talked to us as a group of young men and told us everything we need to do to be successful. And you know, I listened to him and, he was just such a – he was more than a mentor. He was more like a father to me. I grew up in Brightwood, never met my father. And Bill, you know, told me back in the early 90s, no excuses. You still can be successful and you can be an entrepreneur. You can do and be whatever you want to be. And through the years, over the last 24 years, he's been a mentor, a father figure. And, you know, not just to me, but to several young men in the city and around the country. And many of these businesses would not be businesses if it wasn't for Bill Mays.
Matt Murphy, how critical is it that the millennials, the generations below us, understand the importance of, yes, be successful with your career and also give back, whether it's monetarily, whether it's mentoring? We're having this big conversation in this city about mentoring, and I feel like playing some of this back as a way of inspiration. Matt?
Well, you're exactly right, Amos, and you know, one of the hallmarks of a Bill Mays can be measured by the company he kept. And, you know, on your show today, you've had, you heard from many. There are no two greater men, also than, Mickey Maurer, George Pillow, Bill Mays, and those gentlemen, along with countless others, you know, when you start naming names, you're inevitably going to leave somebody out. But the millennials would be well served in so many aspects of the soft attributes of business to emulate. And the giving back part is a very, very major part of that. Bill put his money where his mouth was. He was unafraid of the difficulties and challenges of supporting those organizations and programs and people who were making a difference in our community to make our community better. So not only did he step up and give of his time and his talent with regard to his leadership abilities and his problem-solving capabilities, but he gave countless dollars. I mean, I don't know that we can even go back through the ledgers of Mays Chemical Company over the last 35 years and capture all of the dollars because much of it was also done on a personal level. So he committed himself to improving our great city and our state, and he supported those efforts fiercely. And as a result, as Robert said, there are many people who wouldn't be in business today, but there are many organizations. Bill West is another of the mentees, but a longtime employee of Bill. One of the fascinating people that I had the blessing of working side by side with when I came here to Mays Chemical, and John Thompson and so many others who did get a chance to serve under Bill and with Bill, but also to serve the community with Bill. And, you know, if I would put a finger on one differentiator, that would be the fact that it was more than just the profit motive for Bill. Profits were a way to keep score, but the way to make a difference was in the contribution you make to make things better, and that's what he did.
I think Mickey wanted to jump in here right quick.
Well, I just wanted to say that one of the things Bill did was find, source, and train folks who can take that Mays Chemical Company, if they wish, on to greater things, and nobody better represents that wonderful trait of Bill's than Matt. Matt's a highly capable guy, and under his guidance there with Kristen, I think the company's got a future, so I'm hoping so.
Robert Jackson, I know you're on a fast track today. I appreciate your testimony. I appreciate you talking through, because particularly when you talked about, you know, mentoring, I think that's something that everybody's trying to figure out. You know, how do we crack getting more people mentoring? Maybe the mentoring community needs to start talking up Bill Mays in the aftermath of this. What do you think? Is that maybe a way to open up and encourage more African-Americans to get involved and be mentors?
Well, absolutely. You're talking about one of the smartest, brilliant men I've ever met in my life, and busy as anybody on this planet, but he still made time to mentor me, mentor several other young men. He called me at least two or three times a week, and I think that's what I'm going to miss the most is phone calls, and every time he calls me, Bill Mays here. I said, man, I know who you are.
he did have that instinctive beginning.
He called me. He said, hey, Robert, it's Bill Mays here. You know, I said, I know who it is, you know. And I just really appreciated his calls. He called me when I'm at the airport. And there's no excuse to not mentor out here, because there's so many means of mentoring. I mean, you can call somebody, email them, text them, Snapchat. I mean, it's all kind of ways to mentor. And what he did was he would make phone calls, and we would get together. And I think he absolutely set the bar high, but he also taught me how to pay it forward, because now I'm mentoring over 100 young men who look up to me, just like I looked up to Bill Mays. So he just, it's a big, you know, my heart is heavy, just like Matt said today, but, you know, I think about the memories and everything he's taught me, I'm going to pay it forward.
George Fuller.
Yes, you know, we've talked about Bill. I mean, and it goes without saying Bill was a great mentor and a great human being. But, you know, I had an opportunity to work with Bill through the Circle City Classic, yeah, outside of our being just friends and with Joe Slash. And, we talk about giving time. This gentleman gave a lot of time to help make the Circle City Classic extremely, extremely successful. You know, there were times we were putting 60,000 people in the stadium, and you could see Bill work his magic because everybody had a part, and Bill always delivered every single time. And that's just different from his mentoring. Right. That's just a good side that it's a good human story about a guy who stepped in and did a great job for
us. And we ought to mention to the audience George Pillow, John Merlin, Mickey Maurer, Robert Jackson, and Matt Murphy. He's somebody that beat Donald Trump legally.
Yes, he did.
Mr. Trump was quite smug and was certainly the celebrity that he deserved in terms of stature. But
this was in a deal where Mr. Trump didn't keep his promises, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
No, Donald Trump not keep a promise?
We're kept, let's put it that way. I think it would be, behoove of me not to mention Rose and Heather.
Yes,
May's family. And just want to publicly thank them for loaning Bill Mays to us.
Right.
Because that's her husband, that's their father, and they loan them to us, and look what he's done for this community and for this country, and I just want to make sure I publicly thank them for allowing him to be able to mentor a young man like me, because there's a lot of young men you hear about coming out of Brightwood or going to prison that are being killed. Well, this young man is not, and we're paying it forward, and I'm not because of the mentorship of Bill Mays.
Robert Jackson, John Merlin, Matt Murphy, guys, thank you all very, very, very much for being a part of that. Before we break away with Mickey Maurer and George Pillow, the president of Indiana University, Mickey, Michael McRobbie has some thoughts to say on the passing of Bill Mays. Drew, let's go to that. I think we're going there. Have we got that up? There we go.
I can step in here if you like.
The state of Indiana lost a giant in the world of business and philanthropy last week with the all-too-soon passing of the great Indiana businessman and philanthropist Bill Mays. Indiana University also lost a dear friend and an ardent supporter who cared deeply about IU and did all he could to support it. Bill was born in Evansville and came to Bloomington, where he earned a bachelor's degree in chemistry and later a master's in business administration. He would put both degrees to work throughout his life, founding his own chemical company and later becoming an active investor in media properties that primarily served the African-American community in Indianapolis. At the time of his passing, the chemical company that Bill founded was one of the 20 largest black-owned businesses in the United States. But Bill's influence was felt well beyond the business world. He was a fierce advocate for education, and Indiana University has benefited greatly from Bill's involvement and passion. Bill was the first African-American board member of the IU Foundation, where he served with great distinction for 20 years. And Bill's generosity and that of his entire family has touched virtually every aspect of IU's educational mission. Indeed, part of Bill's philosophy was to give broadly in an attempt to strengthen the entire university community. And students across a wide range of disciplines on multiple campuses have the Mays family to thank for helping them attain their dream of a college education. In particular, Bill generously supported the Kelly School of Business in both Bloomington and Indianapolis, as well as the School of Nursing, by funding scholarships, professorships, and research aimed at improving diversity. Bill also served IU by giving freely of his time and his boundless energy. He was tireless in his efforts to promote IU to other leaders across the state, and for decades he served as a friend and mentor to many across the university. Our hearts and sincere condolences go out to Bill's wife Rose, his children, and to the countless number of friends he leaves behind. He will be deeply missed.
And that's a statement from the president of Indiana University, the system president, Dr. Michael McRobbie. And when in listening to that, Mickey Maurer and George Pillow, it's unusual to see a minority be that generous with their institution of high, a majority institution of higher learning.
Well, I'm sorry if that's the case, and I think Bill set an example here. Maybe we can fix that a little bit. I was going to comment, Amos, on a side of Bill that we haven't talked about, and that's the side where, as a friend, he can sit down and relax a little bit from all the things that he's doing and all his many responsibilities, and enjoy a story and a laugh. And bond with somebody, because that's how I felt I had that kind of relationship. We would relax a little bit together, right, and share some funny things. And that's what I remember. I had a 70th birthday, and he and I went out for my birthday and just really enjoyed one another.
I was telling one of our younger staff members here, they were looking at me, well, you must be sad Mr. Mays passed away. And I said, you know, yeah, but if he were around, he would want to have a good time. And this is one of these young kids just out of college, and who drinks, you know, how young kids, we all did it. And I said, he would probably drink you under the table. Mm-hmm. This young person looked at me like, nah, George, he don't know.
He does not know. Bourbon and Coke was his thing.
George Pillow, Mickey Mauer, thank you for helping flesh out history. I mean, and I said at the beginning of the show, you know, there's that slogan, you know, Black Lives Matter. Here's an example of it. Here is an example. First, all lives matter to begin with. But this is an example of a Hoosier original. And someone that we need to emulate. He can't duplicate it. You know, they broke the mold when God put him here. And God said, I need my mold back. But guys, thank you very, very much.
It's an honor to be invited, and especially be on the program with a guy like George.
Thank you. I feel the same. Thank you, Amos, very much. God bless Bill and his family.
When we come back, more Remembering a Life Well Lived of Bill Mays, including folk you haven't heard on the station since he sold them. Plus, the former governor of Indiana. We'll hear from him. All that and more. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos for a Tuesday.